In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If we've learned anything from this Advent sermon series, it's that God truly works through the least, the lost, and the sinful. Advent 1 drew us into the story of the lanky shepherd David, who became the unlikely king, the repentant murderer turned a man after God's own heart. Advent 2 beckoned us into the narrative of Abraham, the covenant receiver, from whom Israel sprouted and became as numerous as the stars, a man who had his fair share of doubts and needed some grace to help him stay the course. Last week, Advent 3, we were shocked to the core at the son of David, King Solomon, who did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This Solomon, a husband to 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And now, this week, Advent 4, we get the societal reject. Mary, the unwed, pregnant teenager. From this ragtag band of people, the Son chose to descend and reveal himself. He revealed himself as the coming king, both on Christmas Day and on the last day. He revealed himself as the ram stuck in the thicket, a sacrifice for sins. He revealed himself as the starter and finisher of redemption. And today, he reveals himself as God with us. In a word, God showed forth his power. But what do we sinners make of this power in our day? I recently heard a story from a young Italian priest about an experience he had witnessing in the heart of Rome. After wandering around the bustling tourist-packed streets, he sat down on a bench next to an aged man, and the two struck up a conversation. The young priest began recounting to this man the story of Christ, recounting his miracles of turning water into wine, feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, and even raising the dead, recounting Christ's gruesome death and victorious resurrection for us. Without a moment for contemplation or discussion, the aged man replied, "I don't really care what Jesus did. It was 2,000 years ago, and he's gone now." Well, I guess we can conclude that this man made nothing of the power of Christ in this day. Can you blame him, though? In these tempestuous days full of strife, anger, and fear, how could Christ still be present? As we edge toward the coming new year, it is normal for us to reflect on these past 365 days. Days filled with both joy and sadness, days filled with peace and angst, days filled with life and with death. A year full of unshakable sin. The brokenness of the world and the blessings of God. The earthly woven together with the divine. I can only imagine how Mary must have felt while riding on that donkey to Bethlehem. The world shunned her because at face value she appeared to be a broken individual, a sinner. I'm sure she knew what outsiders thought of her, and I know for sure that Joseph, her soon-to-be husband, knew exactly what outsiders thought of her. Matthew 1:19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Despite societal earthly fears, Mary and Joseph pressed on because they knew what she was carrying was divine. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Mary's response could have very much mirrored that of the aged man on the bench in Rome. I don't really care about the promise of a Savior. That promise was made thousands of years ago. God has forgotten about us now. The church historically knows a very different response to the indwelling of Emmanuel and Mary. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. We even continue to sing Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, in church to this day. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. We sing this song because, and this is the crux of Christmas, we know God is present with us, just as he was present with Mary. He's present with us in the preached word. He's present with us as he marked us as one of his own in baptism. He's present with us bodily in the Lord's Supper. He's present with us as he takes our sins, just like he did about 6 minutes ago. He takes our sins from us and casts them into the heart of the sea. Us ragtag band of sinners carry the Savior around with us. We have been cemented to him for eternity. You see, in that babe of Bethlehem, the power of God dwelt bodily, fleshly. He dwelt for you and for me. He dwelt to wrap the earthly brokenness in divine love. He came to humble the proud and raise up the poor. He came to fill the hungry with good things. He came to help us, his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. He came to be our Savior. Our Blessed Mother Mary, meek and mild, watched as the infant Jesus took his first breath in this broken world. She would also watch him as he took his last. Nailed to the cross, bloodied and bruised, Christ became alone so that we might never be alone. For he is Emmanuel, God with us then, God with us now, God with us forever. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.